make sure that you first watch episode 1, which I'll have linked in the description or within the thread of wherever this is posted.
Three words, last seen on grainy surveillance video sends a chill down my spine. Can you imagine a mother's fear when that is what she learns about her girl? And I am talking about 21-year-old Jessica. You may not have heard her name, but you will hear it now.
Welcome to The Truth Lies Between, Episode 2 of Case 2 on Jessica Van Zandt Diesel. The first episode, I talked about just small details, gave a little brief synopsis of the case, went over the 911 call, and gave a sneak peek into a very, very, very important conversation with a top person of interest. I'm sure many of you know his name, as there was a search for him and he was found in Panama City, Florida. I'm going to analyze that because I picked up on a lot of answers that were just bothersome, that obviously they were just questioning him for the first time. She was just trying to get to the fact of where her daughter was. So I can't put any blame in that on why these things weren't caught. Right now I'm Monday morning quarterbacking, basically. Hindsight's 20/20, right? So I'm gonna play that that episode for you guys in a little bit, but first we're gonna watch the video. Her at the gas station, the last day she was seen. So before that video, the last day of her known whereabouts was the 16th of February. And guys, I wanna apologize for background noise, maybe fireworks, a saw. You know, I gotta get this episode recorded, so it is what it is, okay? I'm not in some soundproof lab somewhere, sorry. I do this in my spare time. So yeah, if you're on the podcast, you're not gonna be able to see the video. There's gonna be the video version on YouTube that you can go to if you would like to see the video or clips of the video. So I'm going to do that now, and then we're going to get into the phone conversation with that person of interest.
Worry is the Lee County Sheriff's Office and the Albany Police Department search for 21-year-old Georgia mother, Jessica Van Zandt Diesel. Authorities say Jessica called her mother in mid-February from a friend's phone. She has not been seen or heard from since. Her mother reached out through social media networks, but Jessica never replied. She was reported missing on March 2nd. Take a look at these images from a gas station surveillance video the Lee County Sheriff's Office recently released. They say it shows what Jessica may have been wearing when she was last seen on February 18th. Blue jeans and a blue Nike t-shirt. Jessica's family and authorities continue to search for her, and they're asking for the public's help tracking her down.
Jessica usually did not have a cell phone or any type of device with her, so she would always borrow someone else's. So I would ask you or staff, if they come into contact with someone resembling Jessica, you know, just be mindful that she may want to use a cell phone or other type of device. Jessica carries two bags with her at all times. She carries a small mustard-colored purse and also a black footbag.
Jessica has several tattoos. The name Elena on her upper left chest near the collarbone. A small heart on her left hand. Multiple stars on her right thigh. Perfectly flawed written on her left thigh. And a scripted quote on the left side of her body. She has a nose ring in her right nostril and a stud immediately below her lower right lip. Jessica is a white female, 5'7", 150 pounds, with green eyes and long blonde hair. Anyone with information on Jessica's whereabouts is urged to call the Albany Area Crime Stoppers at 229 229-436-8477. That's 229-436-TIPS.
Jessica Diane Van Zandt Dietzel was last seen on surveillance video at an Albany, Georgia area gas station. The last communication, however, was made through Messenger. Christina Johnson and her daughter messaged about a week before she disappeared, but with no answer to her follow-up messages, Johnson reported the 21-year-old missing on March 1st.
So I'd like to point something out right there. It's not just that Jessica was not responding to her mom. It's the reason. And that reason was that it was Jessica's daughter's birthday, and Jessica's mother knows that she would not, a million years not call. That's what really alarmed her, was just the fact she wasn't responding to the messages.
First, the Lee County Sheriff's Office says the time frame Dietzel went missing is likely between February 16th and March 1st. Police information is that the young mom intended to visit someone living in a tent near Radium Springs Road. Officers went there and interviewed several people, but have not found Jessica.
So the tent that he refers to is actually this picture right here, which is posted by Brian Sadler. Also in that tent was this note that was found about a happy Valentine's Day from her to him. Another person that was known to be in that tent is Patrick Rambo. And I do have some video of him being pretty much interrogated by the family. And I do feel like the man does have sympathy for the girl, and I think he may know more than what he's saying. Whether or not I'll be playing that video is up for discussion at the moment. I definitely won't be in this episode. While there is no video, I guess I got that confused. I know it was seen on a video on Live PD, and you can't access that anymore, but there is a Live PD wanted segment, and which is still online, that you can go and see the pictures. They're not the actual video, which is disappointing. With that being said, we're now going to get into this important conversation. And if you haven't already, please like this video, share it if you're on Facebook, subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you have any questions, please put them in the comments.
Okay, Andrew, this is Stephen Edgerton. Somebody just messaged me on Messenger and said I needed to contact y'all. And who is this? I mean, I know is this somebody related to Jessica?
Who is it?
Yeah, it is. It's Stephen Edgerton.
Okay.
Hello, Stephen.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, so what do you know about Jessica's disappearance?
Well, I don't know anything, but I'll tell you the last time I seen her and what exactly happened. And first off, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry that I haven't come forward now, but I have been, first I lost my phone, and then my mama got me one. Well, I dropped it and broke it, and now I still got it, and it works half. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But
so right from the beginning, we're getting a lot of bullcrap from Steven. You know that he basically first he says that he hasn't been avoiding them, which he clearly has. And why would you avoid somebody if you've done nothing wrong? Then, the reason I hit that rewind button right there is, what? So, did you lose your phone? Did your mama get you a new one? Or does it work sometimes? I mean, that he was clearly lying, and the lie just didn't come out well. This is just the beginning of many lies. I just want to point that out. Pay attention during the rest of the interview, please, because you will catch a lot as well, and I will be stopping and talking about it.
As far as me avoiding y'all, I wouldn't say that I was avoiding anyone. I've been so scared to kind of just talk to anyone because I've got people just making me look stupid, making me look like I'm guilty of something, and just that, you know, I met Jessica about...
It is just puzzling to me how other people can make you seem guilty. Do you feel guilty? Are you guilty? So, you weren't avoiding them, but you don't want to talk to people. So what do you call that? I mean, this is just really early on. As the conversation pursues, I get the impression he's going to start off next, and you're going to hear him. And he met her, and he saw her, and she was beautiful, and he asked her to be his girlfriend, and he's going to continue to dig himself in a deeper and deeper hole. I believe that he was obsessed with this girl, and she continuously turned him down. And I think that may have be a possibility why she's missing. There are ties. There was rumors out there that he said something about she was acting up, so he dropped her off somewhere in Panama City, Florida, where other girls have been dropped into the sex trafficking world. I do believe that she is a candidate 100% for sex trafficking. So let's continue this interview and leave some comments. Huh? What do you think as of right now?
3 months ago, she was walking down Palmyra Road, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not even going to try to put any cut on her or anything. I'm going to tell you exactly. I've seen her. She caught my eye. She's very, very attractive, a beautiful, beautiful girl, and I tried to get her to be my girlfriend. I asked her a couple of times, but she was already, I guess, talking to AJ, but first off, back to when I met her, I seen there was 3 black dudes, and two of them was on a bike, one of them was walking. Well, they were kind of close to her. It looked like they were fixing to try to talk to her, so I turned around, and I'm not going to lie, dude, I mess with a little bit of weed here and there, but I don't shoot.
Okay, guys, I'm trying to figure out how we went from him talking about when he met Jessica and his experience with Jessica to swearing to God that he only smokes weed. I didn't hear any question asked about drugs. I don't hear any question asked about needles. Anything. Actually, they haven't even asked a question. He's still just rumbling away. And I think that also shows his, you know, guilt. He knows something, okay? Because throughout the rest of the conversation, he's setting up alibis for himself constantly. And you guys will see. I mean, who asked you about drugs? No one's even talking about drugs. And when someone says that, it's obvious that it's the opposite. And that, so if you look at his record, I don't know too many people who are potheads that steal cars and do all those types of things. They do that to get a drug that they are addicted to, okay? That's just what it is.
I don't use needles. I don't allow needles around me. I'm having to deal with somebody right now that lives in the household that I stay in that uses needles in this damn house in here, and I got poked by one of his needles the other night in the foot, and I'm scared to death to even go get checked because I don't know if I may have got something from a dirty needle from him, but I don't want to get on that subject because I'm trying to handle this. But I turned around, and the people, the black guys or whatever, they kept walking. Well, I asked her if she needed a ride. She was carrying a big bag of clothes, and she said, she kind of hesitated a little bit. I said, I promise I'm good people. I said, I gave her my name and stuff. I said, if you ain't heard of me, you know, I'm sure somebody you know has. And that's when she said something about AJ, and I said, yeah, I know him. I said, that's my homeboy. But when I say homeboy, I don't mean it as in I hang out with him. I know AJ through my dad, which on Southern.
Let's dig into what he just said right there. He said, I know AJ, that's my homeboy, but not my homeboy like I hang out with him. So when you say you don't know what happened to Jessica, do you really mean it or not? Because homeboy to me means that's your boy. That's, you guys are cool, you guys hang out. If not, then he'd just be like some sort of acquaintance. Is he not your homeboy now because you harmed Jessica or hit on Jessica or did something bad? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I understand you might be nervous, but let's get into more of what he says and you guys will see what I mean.
His dad, I'm not sure AJ's daddy's name, but I know that him and my daddy used to do business together, so that is how I met AJ, was through him. Well, I went over to his house a couple times and hung out, and he's just every time I go over there, he's always so damn twacked out on that ice and shit that he won't let me leave from over there. And see, my mom and everybody would rather us be drug free, but I mean, I do like to smoke weed, and I'm not gonna lie. And Jessica, she would call me to go over there to AK's all the time to smoke with him, but I didn't like to go over there. He's got holes tore all in his walls where he thinks he hid dope. His carpet ain't been vacuumed in years. And I told Jessica, I said, girl, you don't live like this. You don't belong over here. You need to get the hell out of here. But back to where we met, so she gets in the car with me, and we come back over here to my house, which is over here on 4th, and I asked her to spend a night with me or whatever, because I wanted her to spend a night. I said, listen, I said, you're very safe. I said, you're very attractive. And I said, yes, I would be, if you ever gave me a chance, I would be sexually with you, but I promise to God, I will not try you up. You can stay here, because she kept saying she was tired. And I said, I promise you can sleep in my bed and I won't touch you. Just get you some rest. And she was like, well, I want to take a shower and this and that. I said, you can do that. As a matter of fact, I gave this girl towels, and she probably wouldn't even have said nothing if I walked in the bathroom, but I did not, because I gave her a privacy like that, because I can't say I loved her because I didn't know her long enough, but I liked her. So I would just stick my arm in the door, you know, and give her whatever the heck she needed. And she's like, you can come in here. And I'm like, nah, I'm good.
You know, there's just so much to digest in what he just said. Okay, I don't know where I'm going to begin is. Where he kind of stutters and says, I love, well, I kind of can't, that's why I had this feeling that he was upset, right? He barely knows her, but he loves her. Saying that, and the way he spoke about her, how beautiful she was, that she tells him that he can come in the shower, and he says no. I'm just not buying it, okay? I feel like he's setting himself up. You know, like if something happened and her body is discovered, why his DNA would be there, or something like that. He just doesn't seem sincere. Seems like he's just bullshitting, just straight up bullshit, and making sure that he covers his own ass. That's what I'm seeing here. Yeah, no crap, she didn't belong in that lifestyle. She was barely ever in that lifestyle. It was only like the last 6 months. So that's why she didn't look the part, because that was not her. It's when she lost her daughter. Let me know what you guys think. Is it just me? Am I looking too much into it? Or am I onto something?
Anyhow, so she gets in the car. Well, she calls AJ to come get her that night or whatever. All right, I didn't see her for about a week. So then she calls me out of the blue, and they're arguing, and she's like, Steven, come get me. This nigga done did this and that, and just come get me before I do something to him. And I'm like, look, just chill out. I'm coming to get you. And I guess he had done locked their dang clothes up in his truck and claimed that he had lost the key. And this has been a whole day now he's had her clothes out there. I didn't know it, or I'd have been and went out there and got in that truck. So I get out there, and she really did kind of hit his truck with a dang, some kind of stick. And I said, no, Jessica, stop. I said, I'll get your clothes out of his dang vehicle. And I did. I told him, I said, man, I could get in this car in 5 minutes if you give me the antenna off of there. Well, we got his antenna, got her clothes out. Okay, she comes and stays with me. And she spends the night or whatever. Then she leaves with some dude named Corey or whatever. Well, all right, so I forgot all about this shit, right? I forgot all about this dude. Oh, my God. I didn't even think about him. But I don't know if he would have... I don't know. This dude kept trying to get her to go to Panama City that was coming over here. His name was Sam. And she kept asking me, is he all right? And I told her, I said, Jessica, my opinion about a damn Mexican is they all are trying, they all like white girls, and they want to be with white girls. And he works, I know his name's Sam, he works for like S&S Roofing or something around here, but I know he does dibble dabble with the ice and stuff, because he asked me if I messed with it, and I said no. And what is your name?
Christina.
Miss Christina, are you her mother?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Miss Christina, I've never once used a needle in my life, and if I've never heard Jessica say anything about shooting up or ever seen her do it, but I was up here at the Mabry about a month ago, and I had some yard ornaments that a lady wanted up there to buy from me, and I went up there, and it just so happened this boy Will was up there and had a room up there. Well, I walked in there. Somehow Jessica was up there. I don't know who she was up there with, but two of the boys that I know up there are trouble up there. One of them's black, and he's skinny. I don't know his name, but I know him if I see him, and the other little young boy. Anyhow, they was in this room. Well, my homeboy Will's sitting on the bed, and he says, he grabbed a hammer, and he said,
Will,
y'all do that?
Will
Cooper.
Okay.
He said, if y'all do that shit again in my room, he said, I'm going to put one of these hammers through y'all's head. And about that time, that black boy come out of the bathroom with that other white boy, and this little girl come out there. She's about 20-something years old, and I swear to God, it hurt me. So I had to leave the room because I was about to... It hurt me so bad to see this girl messed up the way she was, because they shot her up for the first time in there in that bathroom. I wasn't aware of what was going on, but once I found, I don't know the boy's name. They call him Bubba. There's a little short white boy that walks around up there at the motel at the Maverick. Got bumps and got shit all over his face where he picks, I guess, at himself all the time.
And he shot Jessica up?
No, he didn't shoot Jessica up. He shot some young girl up there, but Jessica was up there. Somehow she got up there with somebody, and I made her leave. She got in the car and left with me. Them boys was trying to get her. They was over there talking to her, and I pulled Jessica to the side, and I said, nah, hold up. I said, that's my girl. That's my girl. And they were like, nah. And Jessica was like, stop. You know I ain't your girl. But see, I did. I said, if you ever decide.
Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
So how about this? Let's fast forward to the last time when Bree said that she left with you.
Okay, that was I tell you the whole story of that situation, and this is the God's honest truth. All right, me and Jessica had talked on and off, but see, every time that her and AJ would get into a fight out there, she would call me every time, and I asked a couple of my friends. I said, because I really like Jessica, I ain't even gonna lie to you, I'm talking to a girl right now, and if Jessica came here right now and said, I want to be with you, I'd leave this one in a heartbeat to be with her. But she, I was supposed to go pick up Bree that day, or the day that, the last time that she seen me with Jessica, I was supposed to go pick up Bree the day, that earlier that day or whatever. Well, she,
Wait a minute, why were you picking up Bree?
Because she wanted to come hang out with me. I wasn't with nobody. You know, Jessica didn't. She wasn't
seeing me. And that was earlier in the day, Steven?
And this is from Nika's house?
Exactly. Okay, well, I was going to pick up Bree, and she was going to come chill with me for a little while. But Jessica called me and was like, I forget what the heck happened or what was going on. It might have been something with AJ, or it might have just been she wanted to just come hang out with me. I can't remember, but I went and got her. And I pulled I think it was Bree that stood me up or something, and she didn't return my call. So when I pulled up over there at Jessica, just kind of pretty much that out of spite, just to kind of show off a little bit, like, look, I don't care. You can stand me up all you want, but I got friends.
So you already had Jessica in the car with you when you pulled up there?
Yes, sir. And I went and picked up my Aunt Nisa and took her to the grocery store and brought her back. I didn't. Bree just stood up there and looked out the door the whole time.
So, Jessica never came in the house?
No, sir. No. She never got out the car.
What time of the day or night was this when y'all
smoked? To be honest with you, I am not going to lie. I smoked so much weed.
I can't remember. Yeah, I got you. Let me ask you this. Okay, so you picked up Jessica from Anthony's, right?
From AJ's, you mean?
Yeah, from AJ's.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you picked her up from there. You went to Nisa's, and Bree was already there because you was going to meet Bree there earlier, but she stood you up, so you had Jessica.
Exactly.
In the
Exactly.
You picked Misa up, went to the grocery store, and dropped Misa back off, or what did you do then?
Yeah, I did, but that ain't the last time that I've seen Jessica now, because she... I don't think that was the last time that I've seen her. I think she come back once more because she come up here walking, and I was like, she normally gets dropped off or AJ, you know, stomp more. Normally I go get her most of the time is what's going on, but yeah, she just walked.
When was the last time that you had contact with her?
Well, the last time I had contact with her, she walked up here to my house and had a big old dang duffel bag out here in the front yard.
Walked up to your house or to Nisa's house?
No, up here to my house on Ford with some really, really short shorts on. And I told her, I said, girl, get in there and put some different shorts on than what you got on out here walking in this part of the neighborhood. But she didn't, you know what I'm saying? She just because is her. You ain't gonna tell that girl nothing that she don't want to do. I promise you that. But
okay, so she walked up there and then what?
She had a big duffel bag of clothes, and I said, bring them damn clothes in the house before somebody steals them. And she brought them up here and set them up here on the porch or whatever, and asked me if I'd wash something for her. And I said, yes, I'll wash them, but you're gonna have to wait till Nelson goes to bed, because that's my roommate, and he complains about water. And if you take a shower too long, I said, when he goes to sleep, I'll wash them for you. Well, a few hours later, I had a friend over here, and he was upset about his girlfriend just being breaking up with him, and he pretty much crying, upset. And Jessica was here, and I didn't have much money that night, you know, nothing to really buy some food or nothing. And he was like, he said, since Jessica will ride with me out here to Walmart, and damn, I'll get a little Caesar pizza on the way back for all of us. And I said, no, I said, she might ride with you, but I don't want to eat. I said, if y'all get y'all something, y'all just eat it. And I sat there, because I was out here in the backyard doing something. I sat there and watched them while they ate inside the whole time. And she pretty much...
So she left with this guy. Who did she leave with and went and got?
That was my friend Todd, but he brought her right back. All she did was she kind of get some food out of him and come back out there with me.
What's Todd's last name?
Todd Hester. But now he does shoot up, and that's the damn the guy that's over here. And that, see, I was showing Nelson. I tell you how I got stuck with a needle. This, and I'll make it quickly. But there was a needle cap on the floor the other night, and I didn't see the needle bent sideways. And my buddy, he can't see that good in here. And I said, Nelson, you need to stop his ass from coming in here. I said, see that needle on the floor? And he couldn't see it. So I took the tip of my toe and pointed at it with the tip of my toe to it, and it stuck right in the tip of my freaking.
So Todd brought her back.
Yes, he brought her back, and then after that, to be honest, to God's honest truth, I don't know what. She called somebody to come get her from here, I believe, and I can't remember because this was later on that night, and I want to say it was two or three or something in the morning, and she questions me about a cell phone. She says, this guy's fixing to come by here. Will you trade him some weed for this cell phone? I really want this phone. I need a phone. And I said, Jessica, I can't do it, baby. I said, I don't even got it like that. I said, I'm not no seller. I smoke weed. I don't sell it. And she said, well, he's coming anyhow. She said, I'm going to go with him. And she said, I'm going to get this phone. You know what I mean? And dang, she left with this dude. And he pulled around back. I got pissed. I got mad because he was out here at 4 in the morning revving his dang little Honda up out here. Because
who was he?
I don't know who it was, but he pulled around back
color,
there.
What color Honda was it? A Honda what?
I know it was just a darker color Honda. It was like I know it has a pipe on it. It's really loud because when he come back there, when she come around back to show me that phone, I was about to say something to him, and she knew I was, and that's why she got on in the car with him and left. But I want to say she called me again since then, but I tell you, she said that I was the only person that she could trust with a Cash App card. So she did her Cash App thingy over here at my house, and she questioned and questioned me about that damn thing coming in the mail. And I'm like, no, baby, it ain't came yet. It ain't came. I'm gonna let you know. Well, it finally came, and I was like, dang, I didn't know what it was. I don't even know what a Cash App is really still now. I've never done it, but somebody told me there's probably like $300 or $500 on it. So when I heard that, I locked it in my glove box on my car. Well, I didn't have a tag on it the other day. I still had her card, and as a matter of fact, the last message I sent her was your Cash App, or it came in the mail, I believe, because my phone got lost for a few days during this incident, and, yes, and then, but guess what? Yes, ma'am, and guess what? Her Cash App card is still in my car because it's out here in the tow yard. It's behind this church out here on Lido. They towed my car because I had it parked back here in the alley and I didn't get here to get it. I don't know. Let me go see my friend. My phone's about to go dead, too. I got to talk. Hold on. I'll find out. Okay, he knows. But yes, I want to say she called me again. But now this Sam dude, she kept asking me. She went to, alright, supposedly the Sam guy, he's got a wife. He's got a wife that he wanted to make jealous. So he takes Jessica out to eat at El Rancho. And she questioned me before she went with him. She said, what do you think about this nigga Sam? And I told her, I said, I don't like Mexicans. Yes, they're nice, they're friendly, but I don't associate with them too much. I can look at it, yes, but I told her, I said, I tell you what, just call me if he messes with you, another dude, some Corey something, do you know a Corey something, because he come over here and picked her up one time, and I went and met, I took her to meet him one time, because she left a person in that guy's truck, Sam, with that dude Corey, and he jumped out on me talking about how to park my car or something. And I said, man, if you don't get your ass away from me, if you don't tell me how to park my car, I'm gone. I'm 35. He claimed he was GD and he whooped my ass and come shoot, kick my door in and this and that. And I said, Jessica, please tell this man to get away from me. And we left. But now that Sam kept trying to ask her, trying to get us to go down to Panama City with him. First he wanted to take her down there, Panama City. And I said, well, I said, if she goes, I go. That's the bottom line. And he was like, well, then we all go then. And I told Jessica, she said, you think this is good? And I said, not without me. I said, are you damn crazy? Definitely not without me. I wouldn't. But that was my girl. I mean, that was my friend. And I liked her a lot. And I would never do nothing to harm her. I will take a lie detector test. I will do anything these folks want me to do, anything y'all want me to do, so y'all will have closure and know that I am 100% honest. You know what I mean? God, I'll have my family down, hire a lawyer to take a lie detector. Well, however you got to do it, you know what I mean? All right, hold on. Let me see. I'm talking to Miss Jessica, my mama on here now. She wants to know because that bank Cash App card is still in there. Man, it's Dusty. You said something about Dusty or something? Yeah. Dusty, is it? Anyhow, there. I heard it's back there because, see, I got a $150 pair of Air Force One shoes and Nike shoes in there that I want to get out. I heard it behind that church by Trailer Land on Lido.
Okay. Look at your phone and you tell me the last day that this could call.
My phone was gone.
So this pretty much ends episode 2 of the case on Jessica Van Zandt Dietzel. There will be an episode 3 for sure, and not sure how many episodes I'll have, but I'm hoping to get some other people to speak on the next episode. I'm also going to be going over the conversation with Sam, the Sam that Steven Atherton tried to basically push the blame on, okay? And I listened to Sam's conversation, and I believe Sam is innocent. Now, I just want to let you guys know the vibe I got from Etherton's combo, okay? Let me know what you guys think. Other points I haven't pointed out. I know I missed some things because I wanted to see what other people thought. I don't want to put preconceived notion in your head before you listen to the whole interview. So, second half of the interview, what else popped out at you? To me, listening to the interview in full, it just seems like he was obsessed on Jessica. Stalker type obsessed. And that, you know, he may not have been turned down much, and she just kept shooting him away. And then I've done a little research on him, and he is known to hit women. So, he snapped. You know, I think that he may know where she is or what happened. Now, the next episode, like I said, we'll be doing the conversation with Sam. The episode after that is definitely going to be on her husband, Kenny Man-Man. He's just a real piece of crap. And that's putting it lightly. Okay, the way he talked to her, the way he treated her, and she still was nice to him. I have some things that she said, and it's just sad, okay? She just wanted a family, that's all. He was supposed to provide that, and he couldn't at one point. Ends up calling DCYF on her because she didn't have a place. And that's what put her into the depression and made her fall to basically her rock bottom. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure you like it, share, subscribe, and click the bell. So you know, the next episode will be on Sunday. It'll be on time. I was a little rushed this week. I work 6 days a week, so today was the only day I had, but I'm going to work on it a little bit tonight. And like I said, I'm going to have the conversation with Sam. Hopefully have someone else on. And I do want to talk about the husband a little bit. So, till next time, guys. It's D for Missing Person Cases Network, and I'm out. Yeah.